It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata back on the Fan. Start of the show talking about football. In case you missed anything from the first hour, check it out on the free Odyssey app as we get set for Jets-Giants preseason coming up on Saturday. If there is a preseason game that's worthy of watching, it would be that one. So we'll do plenty more on that from the Giants' perspective coming up in a little bit. And, of course, Evan Atiki will be out there at Giants camp later on today as well. But should Aaron Rodgers play in the game is a big thing. And then who should be making that decision ultimately, Rodgers or Robert Saleh? I'd like to see the head coach make that decision. 888-808-1019, the number to call. How about the Mets last night, BT? Nice win. David Peterson again. A strong effort. Did you see what happened? It got away from him a little bit there in the seventh
inning. Yeah, with the
inning.
Balk,
and then the next pitch, home run. But the Mets still were able to prevail, and Alvarez hit that bomb of a home run. And to me, that's the biggest thing. You know, if the Mets hit the way that they were hitting when they were one of the best offensive teams in baseball for an extended period starting June 7th on, right up until the All-Star break, if Alvarez can get going here and be that impact bat, along with the way Lindor has been playing and Vientos and possibly Pete, like, they do have the pieces. We could pick holes in the Mets, just like we could pick holes with any team in baseball, in current-day Major League Baseball. There are no great teams. But if they can hit at a high level, they can overcome the lack of dominance atop their rotation or the lack of quality or depth in that bullpen. Plus, they're getting healthier. Daniel Nunez should be on his way back in the bullpen. Budo has been good. Diaz, Budo, Daniel Nunez should be a legit solid three. You throw a Maton maybe as a fourth. Like, it's not that bad. I know our general consensus has felt like, yeah, the Mets don't have enough to be one of the playoff teams. But if the bats can get going, and Alvarez is a big if, but he could be that game-changer type bat in that lineup, then maybe all of a sudden they can overtake the Atlanta Braves.
Well, just two things very briefly. You mentioned Peterson. Peterson's been really good. Yeah. I mean, we can't just, oh, yeah, Peterson got the win. Peterson's been really good.
And for years it was Peterson, McGill, Peterson,
McGill. Yeah, for sure. We'd almost laugh at them. Peterson's been really good.
Peterson is stuck. He's proven himself. Now, not really going deep into games, but and that's by design and that's fine, but still he has been terrific.
Really good. The other thing with the balk there, you know, as much baseball as I watch, there is nothing that confuses me quite like the balk. And there are some that are obvious, but then even last night, the shoulders, they go a tick this way. Like, for me, it's still almost indecipherable. Like, was it? Did he? I don't even know if Ronnie Keith really knew.
I don't think you're alone, and I'm watching the game in the SNY newsroom with Todd Zeal and others, but, you know, Zeal's a former major leaguer, and he's saying it's BS.
He didn't think it was a balk?
No, he's like, guys do this all the time, and he's right. Like, I don't. And that he would obviously know more than anybody, but I don't know what a balk is. A guy flinches, a guy moves his knee. Now, Peterson did take accountability afterward, saying that he messed up and was trying to maybe catch up to the pitch clock, whatever it may be.
And he didn't protest, which gives you a sense that.
But I'm watching it real time, and Todd's like, oh, come on. Like, this
Me too. Yeah. It's almost like, and you see this so rare, but it's almost like the 10-second violation in hoops in the NBA. Like, if you take more than 10 seconds, which, I mean, it might get called 5 or 6 times a year. But it just, I mean, there's other guys who are at the line, you know, not a lot of them, but they're there more than 10 seconds before they shoot. I think there's a lot more guys who balk, but they just, I don't know, call it tonight, call it here, won't call it anyway. So, I just wanted to get that out. The balk still baffles me.
Do you know the numbers? Because I'd quiz you real quick on Peterson. You know his numbers for the season? Do you look at it?
It's 3 change. His ERA's 3 change.
His ERA's 3.
Yeah, like 3.00, literally 3.00.
Do you believe that?
Well, that's why I'm saying
I know, but even that, I know he's been good, but I would have never guessed that his ERA was that low.
Yeah, I thought it was more like 3.2, 3, I didn't know it was quite 3.00. He's been an absolute stud. So, last night, and I'm a little disappointed in you.
Why?
I think you're underselling this one here.
The win?
Yeah.
Nah,
Let me tell you why. Okay, yeah. All right? Now, if Pete hit the home run, it would have been amazing. If Lindor hit the home run, been amazing. If Martinez, like he's had a couple of moments earlier in the year, Grand Slam, whatever, would have been amazing. The fact that Alvarez is the one who hit the home run, to me, If you said to me before the game, all right, the Mets are going to win a walk-off home, they're going to win a walk-off tonight by way of a home run, what would be
right.
like the most meaningful, which person do you want to do it?
I'd probably say Pete.
I would say Alvarez. You know why? Because Alvarez, to me, even though Pete could certainly get better because he's had a down year by his standards, Alvarez, to me, represents more than anybody on the roster, the guy that still has real room to grow the last 35 games and just take this team to a spot that they haven't been.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I was saying. If he could get going, he's got that potential to be an impact bat. And you're right, we do get on Pete because Pete has not lived up to his standards that he set. He's been okay this year, but they need more from him. If Alvarez can now contribute and be another impact bat in that lineup, you know, again, now, how many ifs are we going to go over? Well, if Brandon Nimmo, and Nimmo's healthy, good, you know, that's
good
news. So he'll probably be back in, I would assume, tonight. Don't know, but we'll see. But Nimmo looks like he's okay. So Lindor, Vientos, Nimmo, Alvarez could be that type bat. You know, J.D. Martinez also. I was looking at Martinez last night. I can't believe he only had 12 homers before he went. I'm looking at
that. He's been quiet.
Yeah, I'm looking at that. I'm like, he's only got 12 homers. Yeah. And then, of course, he laces one to right center field, which is good. But 13 home runs for J.D. Martinez. I know he missed the first month or whatever.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, he's got to have more. He's had his impact more, I think, in the clubhouse than in actuality on the field.
He got him going during that first, when they started that surge.
That's when he was hot.
Correct.
And then he's just been...
No, he's been very, very average. Actually, by his standards, he's been below average. Now, let me just tell you...
Is he going to even hit 20 home runs this year?
I'd be surprised if he gets there. I'd say high teens. I think he just misses.
And now if he does, that's going to... Point is, the Mets in the line, they don't have it in the rotation. Their rotation can be okay at best. Their bullpen, again, can be okay at best. Their lineup can be very, very good at best. They have the guys there. They just need them to do their jobs.
Well, think about this, Sal. And I understand why, because he's not making big money, and he was hurt this year, and he's a second-year kid, and he's 22 years old. But, I mean, Alvarez, and again, understanding why... I haven't really levied a ton of criticism. He has kind of floated beneath the radar of criticism.
Right. Why?
I think because the Pete contract thing has been huge. Lindor's bad start, then Lindor's surge. There's just the other stories, and he was hurt. So I think that
I think that's the issue.
Well, that's
he was hurt.
Yeah, I think most sensible, even though we get a little nutty in this city from town to time to time, most sensible baseball fans, Yanks and Mets, understand, especially for a young kid, find it his way. So we're going to be fair, even though we're nuts. But
and he's played 67 games.
I understand that, but think about this, Sal. So last year, he had 25 home runs in only 382 at-bats.
Right.
That's not a lot.
Right.
I mean, a lot of home runs. It's not a lot of at-bats. Last night was number six in 217 at-bats. Now, let's just get... All right, so just do this easy.
Yeah, but even if he goes on fire, he's not going to catch that pace.
I don't care about that. I'm going to finish that point in a moment, but I suppose some easy math, so I'm going to round off here. Instead of 217 at-bats, make it 200. So let's go 2, 4, 6. Boom, 600 at-bats. And if you do the proration part of his home runs as well, he's 18 home runs and 18 home runs in 600 at-bats versus 25 home runs in 382 last year. Precipitous drop in production.
Right.
Now, what does it mean for
batting
the first 4 months?
Significantly better.
Is it 250 something? I got you. What does it mean the first couple of months of the season? Nothing.
Right.
Why this should be really, that's why I said I'm disappointed in you, because I think you'd be a little bit more pumped about this. This guy can elevate, I'm not saying he will, but I'm not betting against him doing it, can elevate this team, I think, from an energy perspective, as you and I have discussed a lot, and a baseball production point, which has been very down for him by his small sample standard so far. If this guy gets on a heater, it could change everything.
Yeah, I mean, you look at their lineup, and on paper or whatever, but if guys do what's expected, and especially him, lengthening it. Like, I looked at Alvarez as not being an eight-hitter or a six-hitter even. I looked at him as a meat-of-the-order, heart-of-the-order type, impact-type bat.
Mm-hmm.
And he has not been that this year. But he still has that potential, and maybe that could get him going. That's why I'm not going nuts, because, all right, he has a big home run, 3-0 pitch. Like, if a guy throws you fastball, it was up and in too, tough pitch.
Yeah.
And I love the way he pimped it afterward, because he's got that attitude. That, to me, like, the Mets need more
of that.
That's
what I mean. He brings that.
They need more of that, you know, edge and attitude. So I love that. But it was a 3-0 pitch, a fastball. If you don't hit that,
if you pop it up, you're going to get looked at. Yeah. But do you think, I didn't hear, and I did see some of the post game with Todd and Gary.
Yeah.
I did not hear Mendoza. Was he given the green light 3-0?
I'm assuming he did. I did not hear that either. I was getting ready to
go. I don't know that it's a safe assumption. Yeah. I mean, even Ron Darling said before the home run, it's 3-0 count. You need somebody on base. Yeah, I don't think I'd give him the green light.
But how many guys now? Yeah, but with him?
No, 22 years old? He's got 5 home runs.
Yeah, but still, he's the power threat, as you saw. Mm. How many guys? Now, I was thinking this after the 3-0, you know, home run on 3-0. How many guys back in the day, and we always talk about, well, we grew up watching the 80s, whatever. It was automatic. 3-0, you're taken.
Oh, yeah.
Think of how much damage was left on the table. With 3-0. Now, some guys didn't like swinging 3-0. Messed them up a little bit. Like, yeah. You know, you're not going to do it. But we've seen now in current day baseball, dating back the last several years, where it's normal to swing 3-0. And guys get a heater, and they get it generally in the strike zone, and they're going to mash it.
Yeah. The thing that's, I think the thing that's a little tricky with giving a, I'd almost, like, if I was a manager, I don't think I would give, well, I mean, basically, it's the same thing. But rather than give the 3-0 swing.
I mean, it up to them.
Yeah, I would. I mean, yeah, there's certain situations we're taking no matter what. But as a hitter, like, just put yourself in a batter's box. If you know that you've got the green light to swing, you know, that juice is pulsating through your body. You generally expand the zone a little bit because you hopped up.
Right.
Because you know you could go and get one.
Right.
And you kind of leave your comfort zone. And you probably swing at a pitch that you can't really square up because you're already almost mentally predisposed to swing.
And that was not an easy pitch to hit either.
No, it wasn't.
You know, on a tee fastball right down the middle of the plate.
No, that was a big moment.
Up and in, he hammered it.
It's the Orioles. It's the, you know, it's before this
you should be pumped. Road trip.
What? I should be pumped?
Yeah.
Oh, because of the Orioles.
Yes.
That's right. Pick up that
half game,
baby.
The Mets helping the Yankees out.
Why do you think I'm happy? Not happy because the Mets won.
Woo! BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the phones here. Talking Jets, talking Mets, whatever it is that's on your mind on this Tuesday afternoon on the Fan. Adam is calling from South Jersey. What's up, Adam?
What up, boys? BT, my Marine Park brother, and Sally Bag of Donuts. How you guys doing today?
Good. What's up,
what's
Adam?
What's up, man?
Good, man. Good. Listen, I'm going to talk real quick from the coach's perspective, although I'm going to preface that by saying the coach's perspective really doesn't matter because anybody that's paying attention knows that Sal is not making bottom-line decisions because if he was, this decision on Rodgers playing or not would have been made weeks ago. Maybe after the first week of camp when you see how healthy he is, how he's moving, that's when the decision would have been made. You map these things out when you're a coach. You don't say 3 days before the game, oh, we're going to talk about it Wednesday and figure it out then. That's not how it works.
They should definitively know by today at the very least. I'm sure they talked about it before to BT's point, but they should know, right? Like by today, they've had to already discuss it as a group. The game is Saturday. It's Tuesday. Like, what are you waiting for?
He should have known this weeks ago, Sal.
Yeah, well, I understand,
but I'm saying I don't know about weeks, Adam. Not weeks.
You can have the plan of saying I'm not going to let him play.
BT, I'm telling you, when it comes to preseason, it's like a map. It gets mapped out weeks in advance. You don't decide these things 2 to 3 days before the game. You just don't. It's not the way it works.
No, but I know, but there's
even getting away from that, right?
Yeah, but Adam, hold on. There's a big difference between, you know, texting Aaron Rodgers on Thursday night and saying, oh, yeah, by the way, you're going to strap on for a couple series Saturday versus a couple of weeks ago. I mean, the answer is probably somewhere in the middle. I don't know that you commit 3 weeks ago.
You commit, unless he's hurt.
I wouldn't.
You commit early. You have one series on this day, guys.
Yeah, I disagree,
this
but it's
your series
whatever.
On this day. But anyway, I digress. We'll get away from that. The point is that Brian Rodgers is not in Green Bay anymore, right? He's played 4 snaps with this team, 4 snaps with this group of guys. Now, if he had been in Green Bay still and he accrued this injury, then it would be easy to say he definitely should not play because the majority of the team he has timing and gameplay experience with, they play together. So it really, in that matter, isn't a big deal. But I think the reason Aaron should want to play, and if he wants to play it, they should let him, is because he really still hasn't played with these guys yet.
Mm-hmm.
You can't replicate game speed in practice. And while preseason is not regular season, it is faster than practice speed. It is people coming after you, unlike in practice. There's improvisations you have to deal with, even in a preseason game, that you don't deal with in practice. And since he hasn't had that type of time with these guys, I think that in Aaron's mind, being that he is a smart guy, which I think we all agree on, no matter how weird he is,
yep. He's
a smart guy, he probably looks at it and says, you know, I could use to get a couple of plays in with these guys just to get our timing a little bit, just to see how Tyron Smith is doing on the left side.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to protect me the way I need to be protected?
I agree.
Like you said about Pittman, are the snaps going to be good in game? Because you know what? Your snaps can stink in practice, and all of a sudden in the game it turns on.
Oh, no, I'm not buying that, Adam, and thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Good stuff as always. No, that's not true.
A little presumptuous.
So what's Pittman doing then? He's just messing around in practice? some things, a lot of times, you play like you practice.
That's right.
Or whatever happens in preseason or practice transfers over to the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Especially that.
Yeah.
That's something that he's clearly got an issue with that they need to fix. That's a major problem that's getting overlooked. Like, he's got to fix that, BT. And that's like a, oh, Walt Tippmann in a game is going to be better.
No. Figure it out. Yeah.
Based on what?
That's a little bit too much of a presumption.
If a kicker was missing every one of his kicks, 30-yard, 40, whatever it may be, it doesn't matter. It's just practice or preseason.
Yeah, figure it out when it's real.
No,
I disagree with that. I'm totally with
Come
you.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. I think deep down Aaron wants to play. That's how I feel.
But I don't know. I don't know what the hell to believe. There's mixed messaging from both those guys.
All right, we'll break it down this way. Number one, I know, and there has been mixed messaging. You're not wrong. But number one, do you think Aaron wants to play? Yes or no?
In my gut, I would say probably yes, but then he came out and said preseason's not a big deal. It doesn't mean anything anyway.
No, but you think he wants more?
I do.
You think he wants to play more than he does?
I do.
Okay. Do you agree
with that?
I do.
Yeah, okay.
Do you think that Sala wants him to play
no,
or no?
I
agree with that as well. So now we get back to the power
struggle. Right, which is why we have an issue.
Yeah.
Sala doesn't want him to play, and Rodgers wants to probably play a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's being prolonged and delayed, and that's why we've heard one thing definitively, then another thing was opened up.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm saying even more so, if Sala says it's his decision, see, because it's not just this decision. If Sala doesn't want him to play and he plays, it's not just this decision. It shows you that Rodgers is running things. Now, we know that, but if I'm Sala and I'm going down,
mm-hmm.
I'm going down with my decision. If Aaron Rodgers, God forbid, got hurt in the preseason, who do you think is going to take the blame for that?
Yeah, but okay, but now we've got to be real here. I mean, there's different rules for different people. I know that you're supposed to coach everybody the same, but interact with them differently. There's a couple of expressions that's, you know, but you think that and you know, this is I really hope nobody perceives this as a knock because it's really not.
Yeah.
But do you think Mike Francesa had different rules than Tony Page?
Of course.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You think Aaron Rodgers has different rules than whoever the two back the third string backups
but
are fighting it out?
This is different. This is different.
Why?
Because in this case, Sala is trying to protect his player from himself or potential harm. I'm not saying that you got to treat Rodgers like everybody else.
Okay.
But in this particular case, it would be the logic is not I'm treating you like everybody else, Aaron, but it's that you mean so much to this team. I don't want you to play. I'm not risking having you getting hurt. And if it does go wrong, even though Sala doesn't want Rodgers to play, and then he acquiesces to Rodgers, and Rodgers does play, and he gets hurt, or something happened, whatever, it's going to be on Sala. If the Jets lose this year, it's going to be on Robert Sala. It's not going to be on Aaron Rodgers.
All right, so we're basing decisions on fear of backlash.
No, I just for me, I can't speak for Robert Sala.
But he might be.
No, it's not fear of backlash. It's within myself. Right? Like, I always talk about this with Terry Collins, talk about Terry Collins. In 2015... where in Collins' gut, he wanted to pull Harvey from that game.
Mm-hmm.
And Harvey said, hell no, give me that damn ball. This is my game. The whole crowd was chanting, Harvey, Harvey. Collins, in his heart, in his gut, knew that it was over. Go to a different pitcher. But Harvey convinced them, the crowd convinced him, and I thought it was the right move to let him go out there, even though the results didn't work out.
Yep.
But then TC now has to live with that. The indecision was the wrong decision, meaning that if he really felt like Harvey was done and he let his player talk him into it and the result didn't work, now he's got to live with that. Now, again, it's not, you know, the end of the world. Like, probably weren't going to win the World Series anyway, whatever it may be. But I'd rather just know that I at least made my decision and I can live with that, as opposed to Sala in his heart saying, I'm not letting him play. And then Rodgers playing, and then God forbid something goes wrong. Now Sala's got to live with that. Forget about what you or I say or the media say.
Mm-hmm.
Any of that blowback.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
New York Sports on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Like the roses somebody gave me on my birthday deathbed.
really getting me in the mood for STP.
I like them.
Oh, this is great. Call right now. Be caller number 13 at 866-540-WFAN. That's 866-540-9326. For your last chance, I want a pair of tickets. See Live and Stone Temple Pilots, the Jubilee Tour at PNC Bank Arts Center on Friday, September 6th. This is from our friends at Live Nation. To purchase tickets, visit livenation.com. Listen again tomorrow for another chance to win.
All right, I got a little something for you quick here before we get back to the phone. So this happened, and it was an accident, and we were able to rectify this. Remember last week, dad called in, put his son on the phone. We wound up talking to him, and you hung up on him.
Yeah, Kingston?
Kingston.
Yeah, the little play-by-play guy
last Kingston night. Went to work last night, and let me tell you something right now. And I'm not just saying this because, oh, he's 9 years old, and you want to say good things about a kid. I mean, I wouldn't say bad things about a kid, but I wouldn't lay it on this thick if it wasn't true. He is absolutely amazing. He was in there in the middle innings as with Keith and Gary and Ron. Mm-hmm. He had Alonzo's double. I thought his command was incredible. I thought just the way he described, like his descriptive nature, his cadence, kid was really good.
All right.
I mean, he was, did you hear it?
I did. I watched it and I got enjoyment out of it. I thought it was very good.
Like the Little League World Series. I don't think Kingston was that good last night.
I'll lay it on thick.
He's
going to be doing a Yankee game soon with Susan?
I don't know. Is the audition still going on? I mean, I'm going to the game tonight. I might have to force my way into the booth if they didn't invite me.
John will be in the booth tonight for innings 4 and 5. Looking forward to that. WFAN, you know, John and Susan tonight, handing out the t-shirts as well, first 15,000.
Yeah.
So that should be fun. I know. I thought he was good.
And by the way, it is WFAN night, so I'm going to be on the field tonight.
Oh, you didn't tell me this.
I just found out this morning. Going to be representing the station here.
So in what capacity? Like, you're going to get
pre-game,
announced?
I believe there's going to be some sort of audible announcement and hopefully something
like
on the big screen.
WFAN's Brandon Tierney?
Yeah, it's WFAN night.
First pitch?
I don't think I'm getting
it. WFAN night?
I would be pumped if I could throw up
the first
pitch.
It's WFAN night?
Yeah.
I didn't get invited.
Maybe they didn't want you.
Am I not on WFAN?
You are, but you didn't make the cut.
WFAN night, and you're the only one that's going?
You can stick with SNY, buddy. Wow. So you can stick with the Betsy.
I don't get invited there either. Only time I've been to the suite. SNY suite, yeah. Only time I was at the SNY suite was when I was producing for Francesa as a guest. Been at SNY for 15 years. I haven't seen the inside of that suite outside of that one day.
Even like the most innocuous statement always leads it to you being mad about something.
But,
yes, it is WFAN night.
I feel like if it's WFAN night,
we should all be there.
Don't you think?
I don't disagree. It just kind of worked out that way. Don't take it personally.
It's going to be a blast.
It's going to be on the field.
It's a good game, too.
Luis Gil's going. It's the Guardians who are playing really good ball. I can't wait to go.
I'm actually intrigued by Cleveland. But back to your point about young Kingston.
There's a question here.
Yeah.
And I wasn't landed on too thick. He was amazing. All right. But Sal, if you could be the play-by-play voice for any team, who would it be? And who, and this is maybe the trickier part, who would your color commentator be?
Like
past, present, whatever.
In reality?
Yeah, be right like now. Any job that you want, any team that you root for, including the Falcons,
and I could pick
you're
dream.
The voice, and the voice,
definitely
the analyst,
football.
Well, the analyst could be deceased as well. We're going to give you that option.
God, that is a fascinating question. You have yours picked out already?
That's why I'm going to be there at Yankee Stadium tonight, and you're not, because I ask fascinating questions.
Yeah. You're going to be in the booth? Hey.
No, I don't think I made the cut there.
Right, easy, big fella. Did you think about your part?
I did not, but I could probably come up with something pretty good here, but I want to give you a chance to go through it.
I'm going
to
go... Now, get it, by yearbook, high school yearbook, it was dreams of being the voice of the Mets, Knicks, and Rangers.
Good ambition there, Sal.
It would clearly be one of those three.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, came close. Closed it up.
No question.
I got to a point where I was just like, man, this play-by-play stuff is way too much
work. Columbia football record. Nobody listened. On the internet, on AM dial-up.
Hey, it did make the Ivy Leagues, which is great. Can you imagine me rolling around, college dropout, rolling around Harvard and Dartmouth campus, Ivy League campuses? So I would probably go Mets. As much as I love the Knicks and Rangers and the Garden, just baseball's always been my first love.
Okay.
So I would probably go baseball.
Who's your analyst?
Ooh.
That's a tough one. I'm going to give you another caveat.
Yeah.
You can pick somebody that isn't necessarily an analyst that you think that would be good with, and you can make them the analyst.
I'm going to go fun. I'm not going to go like realistic. This guy would be great at the broadcast. I'm going to go fun.
Okay.
Although I will tell you that my instincts were taking me back to like either Kiner or McCarver.
I love McCarver.
Yeah, me too. I mean, that
a lot of Yankee fans don't, but I love them.
That would probably be like dream situation.
Sal and Timmy.
Yeah, I told you about the time I met Tim McCarver outside.
I don't think you did.
Outside of Shea Stadium, I ran up to him. Yeah, I used to get autographs.
Was he nice to you like Michael Vick?
I was trying to get him to sign my Mets hat. And he was promoting a book at the time as he was walking into the stadium. And I was like, hey, Mr. McCarver, can you sign my hat? And I probably had like, you know, whoever else like signed in there, like Gary Cohen or Bob Murphy or Howie Rose already signed. Fran Healy signed my hat. Mr. McCarver, a blue pen. Like I had a blue Sharpie on my blue Mets hat. A blue pen on a blue hat. Now, who's going to see that? And he wouldn't sign the hat. And then he goes, see the book? Buy it.
Really?
Yeah. And then he wasn't a jerk about it, but he wouldn't sign my blue Mets hat.
I'm starting to notice a trend here. This is the second day in a row. Michael Vick wanted no part of you. Tim McCarver, who's, you know, said to be one of the nicest people around, wouldn't sign your hat.
No, he wasn't a jerk. It was, and there was people around.
But he didn't sign the hat.
Well, he said a blue pen on a blue hat. Now, who's going to see that? So the next day, I called Mike and Chris to complain. This is a true story, dude. God. To complain about this. And Mike goes, next time, bring a white hat.
Or a white marker.
Yeah, well.
I mean, Mets don't have white hats, Mike.
They might have had, like, the alternate. Who knows?
I got you.
But he's like, all right, like, what am I going to do with this call? Next time, bring a white hat. Have they even let me through? Who the hell knows? Like,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, what, that he wouldn't sign?
No, I mean, this is...
It's a real life story. I'm telling you the truth.
Maybe the approach is not... Maybe you need to refine the approach.
Hey, Mr. McCarver, can you sign my hat? I got everybody else signed everything.
Were you pushy? Did you show any respect?
No, I got Howie, Eddie Coleman, Gary Cohen, Bob Murphy. I got all these guys.
So who's your analyst? Definitely Tim?
I think for nostalgia purposes, it would be Tim or Ralph. Ralph would be a lot of fun in the booth, don't you think? Ralph
Yeah, he'd be knocking back whiskey half the time.
Can I get two analysts?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
I would do it. And I love Gary, Keith, and Ron, obviously.
Uh-huh.
But because I grew up with Kiner and McCarver, to do a Met game with those two.
Every Met game.
Well, yeah.
I got you. It's a good one.
Probably those guys. Who's yours?
Well, I'm going to give you my answer. But first, it's funny. Like, I'm going to say the Knicks.
Which you did.
I did. I did about 10 or 11 Knicks. Do you know, I was awful to start that. I remember. And I did it out of complete, they had nobody else. I'm just going to lay it out there. Like, there was no one else they could ask.
But
like,
still.
It was, dude. Crispino was doing, I don't know, the Rangers, and Gus was doing boxing, and Breen was doing TV, and Albert was, they knew I did St. John's.
Right.
So they're like, hey, we think that you can do this. Sent us a tape, and long story short, I wound up doing it, right? So it was pretty cool. Go on the Knicks plane.
For the New York Knicks. That is incredible.
Sal, it was awesome.
I don't care if it's all game, and you did 10. That's a dream come true.
This will be used against me, and I don't care, because I have no problem telling anybody about this. This is how much it meant to me. I remember I was at the Four Seasons, right? That's, I mean, you walk in, you get meal money, you get the Four Seasons. Yeah. I'm like, we're the groupies now. I'm just kidding. I was single. And didn't need them. I remember being at the Four Seasons, and before I called my dad, before I was so nervous.
Yeah.
And it was two buses. It was the players, and then it was the broadcasters. Mm-hmm. And John Andres, goes back to Johnny Hoops. He's like, hey, let's meet down here. We want to be on this bus at this time. Really held my hand and showed me what to do. And I remember opening up, when I woke up having coffee with room service, I remember opening up the blinds and just, again, be overwhelmed. I had tears in my eyes. Yeah. Just looking at I was in Atlanta. Just looking at the city of Atlanta, I'm like, geez, I'm doing a Knick game now. So first I'm like overcome and overwhelmed. Now I'm nervous. I'm like, I'll tell you, I had done some St. John's games. When that ball went up in the air, that game was moving quick. It wasn't like, it should have been like Marbury left side, couple dribbles, Curry with the pick over to Quentin Richardson, Jamal Crawford, pump fake, down low. Like, I could do it, but it was more like, here's the tip. Marbury, no good.
Yeah.
I missed everything. And then I kind of got a little bit of a rhythm. So
did you ever do one at home?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did one in Seattle. Kevin Durant's rookie year with the Supersonics.
What year was that?
That was, 2004?
Because
he hit the game winner in overtime. I did some really cool games. Yes.
Because I was there once around that time visiting a buddy and seeing a game, but it might have been a little bit later.
Wait, was that the wedding? When you went out to the wedding?
No, a different year. Because I went around that time frame. I remember seeing Frank Isola out there even before I knew
him. Oh, yeah, Frank was always there. Alan Ha, that's how I got to know Alan really well. Great dude. So I would see, I think I did Philly, Portland, Seattle,
sick.
Two or three at the Garden,
that's sick.
Orlando, the old arena. Anyway, I would say the Knicks, especially number one because it's the Knicks, but also lifestyle. like it's 82 games versus 162.
Yeah, I didn't take that into account.
I do, because I don't want to miss any games.
Love of the game.
With my kids.
Yeah. All right. I mean, you're
Not good enough for you. Oh, being a family man is not funny enough for you.
I didn't take that into account. Wink, wink. Being away from my wife and daughter for 6 months. Oh, how horrible!
This guy would
sign me up for 162 plus postseason.
I was going to say, if it was up to Sal, he'd go for the Mets booth to the Olympics to the Ryder Cup. He'd go over to a little highlight, a little cricket in India. This
Mets,
guy would say, get me out of here.
You meant, no, I was saying Mets then Knicks. That's what I wanted.
And I know I was a little wordy. My color guy would be. I got to stick with Johnny Hoops.
I was going to say, you can't
There's
do Johnny
doubt
Hoops.
I'm not rolling with Johnny Hoops.
Good for you. That's
the best.
Awesome.
I love John.
Oh, that's great, man. That's fun to think about. The only thing that I had comparable to that was they did a Columbia game. Actually, you were there that day. It might have been.
What? I was there. Was that the St. John's game?
Yes. So
I
was it Columbia versus St. John's?
That was it was in Queens, not at the Garden.
No, at the Garden. You and me,
but
it might not have been Columbia versus St. John's. It might have been like
the doubleheader in Columbia played in Ivy and St. John's played after it. I think it was like the old ECAC.
I forget who they played, but
festival.
This is a couple years ago, and I did the game.
More than a couple at this point, probably.
Not even.
Right?
I want to
7,
say,
8, something like that?
I don't. It might have been more recent. I feel like I was doing the overnight, so it couldn't have been that long ago.
Okay.
But it was at the Garden. You were doing the game with Mink, and it was the first time I did a Columbia game at the Garden. But
how did it feel?
Mike.
Doing a game at the Garden.
Sitting on the court.
Oh, yeah.
Doing a game at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, no, it's
I slept in my car. I had I did the overnight. This is what happened. I did the overnight. Slept in my car out front of the Garden. I parked right in front.
Come on.
Slept in the car for like an hour.
I respect the hustle. Did you put a suit on? Like, you had a suit hanging? That's good hustle right there. Honestly,
anyway.
And you were doing color or play-by-play?
Color. Lance Meadows did play.
Oh, Lance,
Jerry
does
was
a lot of Giants stuff,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or did,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Giants
he
stuff?
Does Columbia. He's a voice of Columbia, okay. I think, still, and did some Giants stuff or does some stuff with the Giants. But yeah, he was doing, because Jerry left to do Rutgers stuff.
I know he did. So he had a little upgrade there. Yeah. No disrespect to Columbia. And just to bring it full circle, great job by Kingston. I thought he was awesome. I really thought he was great.
I'd like to see, like, SNY should do a Where Are They Now?
I think every team. Oh, wow.
Because they've been doing this for a long time.
I think every team, the Yanks are letting everybody in the booth. I think the Yanks, I think every team, Devils, Isles, every team that we watch, maybe except football because it's once a week. Should maybe once a month or so bring in a random fan and do an inning or two.
It is a great idea. That's not a team thing. That's an SNY thing. I think it's an SNY thing. So SNY deserves credit for that forward thinking. It is a great idea.
Yeah.
Half an inning, or they interview him for a half inning, then he does the half inning. It's harmless. It's fun.
Yeah, and he's out there with his little sports jacket and his tie. Great, it was just awesome.
That,
it was great.
That was a cool moment.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Far back to pass, takes a deep drop, steps up, looking to his right, and the pass intercepted by the Giants at the 40-yard line. Intercepted by the Giants. Corey Webster got the pick, and he's tackled at the Packer 34.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata, BT and Sal back on The Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We've been talking about Aaron Rodgers. We talked some Mets as well. Get in on the action. We'll get back to the calls in 1 second. I'm just seeing this story now, BT. I was trying to piece this together real quick during the break. Did you see the Staten Island Little League team, the head coach?
Yeah, they're playing tonight, 7 o'clock.
So I guess they won the other day. They're playing tonight.
Yes, elimination. They got one more. It's double limb. Yep.
What's their head coach's name?
I don't. I think it's like begins with an M, and it's Italian. I think I saw this in the Post today. They had something in the Post.
Bob Laterza.
I'm honestly not sure of his last name.
Okay. Anyway, and I'm just trying to piece together where this is coming from. I think Barstool posted about this as well, which was sent to me, and now I'm seeing it on another site here. I don't even know what the hell the name of this site is. SILive.com. Anyway, the manager is taking issue with Aaron Judge.
Why?
Because he doesn't think Judge was good to the kids the other day. Quote, how about turning around or a wave to New York and the kids that think you're a hero? They're the ones who pay your salary. They were disappointed. Maybe you'll want to make up for it and come see them. I guess he had an issue with Judge not going over the top for the Staten Island team. I just find this hard to believe that a Little League coach would rip Aaron Judge. Meanwhile, it seems like the Yankees were doing all that they could the other day. Anyway, interesting there that he would try. And look, he's going to get attention for it. Now, a lot of it's going to be negative attention. But, how about that? He took issue.
I did not see that. You know, I mean, listen, you know, sometimes when you're pulled in a million different directions, even though there was only about, I think it was like 2,700 people there, it's like it's a big, big venue, so it's smaller. But it, when it's that small, you're almost expected to intimately interact with everybody, which is unfair.
Latizura admitted his boys were bummed to miss out on the big man. I'm reading this from the site right here. He alleged never showed face with his team, despite being seen with others. They'd hope their CBI home plate would allow them to interact with Judge during the on-deck circle, but Latizura says a Judge ignored the youths who were, you know, yelling for him.
Did you just say youths?
Youths.
The youths.
To what?
Sounded like you said youths.
Youths. The two youths, well, I'm just reading it here again.
I know.
That the young kids ignore Judge. Come on, dude. That's weak. You're going to get on Judge. Oh, we pay your salaries. I'm stopping.
Well, I'm not getting on Judge. I think Judge is as close to perfect as a human being.
Yeah, the reason why I bring this up is because you said yesterday that you were a Staten Island guy. Well, and you're rooting for Staten Island team.
I am.
Well, how about now?
Of course I'm still rooting for
him. The guy's ripping Aaron Judge for no reason.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to really see what happened. Now, again, I mean...
Well, what, does Judge got to go out of his way? He's in the middle of a major league game. I mean, he spent enough time with the kids. There's a billion kids around who want a piece of him. He's Aaron
Judge.
So every step he takes...
I'm not getting on Aaron Judge.
Yeah, no, me neither. I'm not getting on the head coach at all. I'm getting on the manager for knowing better. He should know better.
Even if the manager's wrong... Now, listen, is it a situation when... And it's his interpretation. And I know a few coaches in Staten Island. I don't know this gentleman, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt as well. So, you know, and I don't think this was the case, but was Aaron Judge told, hey, there's the team from Staten Island. It's the only team from New York. He's like, yeah, whatever. I'm going to go talk to Pennsylvania. I can't imagine Aaron Judge doing that. No.
No, I don't think he did it on purpose.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And sometimes the expectations that you have are so grand that they can't be met.
Right.
And you express it through disappointment, and, you know, maybe he'll retract some of that, the coach of Staten Island, at some point. But maybe he won't. But I'm definitely rooting for Staten Island. Of course I'm rooting for Staten Island.
One more note on this guy from Staten Island here.
Again, what, do you want them to lose now?
David Cohn goes over to approach Laterza. I'm assuming that's his name there. He goes, hey, Bob. Hey, Coach Bob, how you doing? And Laterza had no idea who he was. I mean, come on, dude. You're a coach of Little League Baseball. You don't know who David Cohn is?
I mean, well, you're just getting all over this guy.
I'm just reading that. I'm giving you the facts here.
Listen.
How do you not know? You're a Little League manager. Like, if I were a Little League player, my manager didn't know who David Cohn was, they'd be like, what are you doing?
Well, maybe he's a Mets fan, and maybe he doesn't watch the Yankees.
All right, if you're a Mets fan, you should know who David Cohn is. If you're a Yankee fan, you should know who David Cohn is. If you manage Little League in Staten Island, you should know who David Cohn is. If you watch Sunday Night Baseball
for a second, you know who David Cohn is.
You watch the Yes Network, you know, like.
What if he's a 27-year-old Mets fan? And he didn't watch David Cohn pitch.
The manager's that young. Why am I?
No, I'm saying that probably not. He's probably got a son on the team. I don't know. But it sounds like you're going against Staten Island now. Is building this animosity.
I think I am.
You can't.
Can I root for that guy's ripping Aaron Judge?
How about
doesn't
we do
know
this?
David Cohn is.
How about we do this?
Yeah.
This should be attainable. How about we get him on the show?
Okay.
You guys
can
flush
that.
It out.
Yeah, we will. And we're gonna give him attention for that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could challenge him, big boy.
I will.
All right, so get him on the phone.
Ooh, you managed a Little League team to the World Series. Ooh, you don't even know who David Cohn is.
Well,
and you're going to pick on Aaron Judge?
You're not playing until 7 tonight. You got plenty of time. Get him on the phone and challenge him,
big
boy.
By all accounts, Aaron Judge, now again, I don't know Judge personally, but by all accounts, extremely gracious with his time. You're going to pick on Judge because he didn't look at you in the on-deck circle? He's got a game to play. Come on, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's not something I would do. But again, I don't know exactly what happened.
I think he's looking for attention, and he's going to get it. He's getting it now.
Okay, so get him on the show. Hey, Zoo, get him on. Get him on.
Bob Laterza.
Shouldn't be hard to do. I'll even sit it out. I don't want you to skip. Hey, buddy, good luck tonight. I'll be rooting for you.
Yeah, what happened?
I meet my partner, Sal.
Yeah, I want to know the truth of what happened.
Well, get him
this
on.
Is speculation online. You ripping Aaron Judge for what reason?
Get him on.
Okay, I'm fine. Well, I mean, I try to get him on.
Get him on today, Zoo. Get him on.
Hey, we'll effort that. We'll effort
that. I'm serious. This should not be hard to do.
All right, let's get back to the phones here.
I'll reach out to a few Staten Island people that I do know and maybe actually get his number.
Well, your connection to Staten Island?
What's that?
You got connections in Staten Island?
Got connections everywhere.
Oh, I see that. You're a man of the borough.
No, I mean, I got a few people out there still. Yeah, I mean, come on.
All right, Bobby.
Just don't cower. Don't get him on and then start kissing his ass.
What, are you giving a cower to him?
I don't know. The presentation now, I hope it's this aggressive when we get him on the show. This is your problem. This is not my battle.
Need I remind you?
I'm rooting for Staten Island.
Need I remind you of how we do things on this show? Don't tell me. I'll annihilate the guy. No, I just want to simply understand where he's coming from.
All right, we'll flush through.
I mean, come on, you got a game to get prepared for. You're managing a Little League team. You're managing a Little League team, and you're criticizing Aaron Judge, and you don't know who David Cone is? I'm sorry. Yeah, I'd like to talk to this guy. See, what kind of qualification? Why don't you take over running that team, BT? I mean, come on. What is this guy doing here?
I've been in Staten Island enough this year playing ball. You know, it seems like he's doing a good job, though. They're in the Little League World Series.
Yeah.
He wins. I mean, you might not like the guy, but he got him there.
Well, I don't know. We'll see if we can get him.
He'll win tonight, too. I got news for you. It's the Sal Mojo. Sal says bad things, good things happen. Watch.
Bobby is calling. I don't want those kids to lose. Bobby is calling from Belmore. What's up, Bobby?
Yeah, hi, guys. Listen, this is like A-Rod coming to the Mets, 24-plus-1. This is 44-plus-1 with a new A-Rod. I mean, this guy's played 14 plays, including the preseason since January 2023. He doesn't go to mandatory camps with his smoke hash in Egypt. He can't play in the rain because he might get a boo-boo. I mean, this is just on and
on. What do you mean
he
can't play in the rain because he might get a boo-boo? You would have played him in the rain, Bobby? Come on.
Practice in the rain? I mean, you think Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, after coming off an injury, wouldn't practice in the rain? I mean, this is just, if he's going to get hurt, whether it's Sal, come on. Forget Salah. This guy doesn't want to play in the preseason. He's got one foot out the door.
Bob, hold on a sec. Okay,
what the players saying? They must say, what the F? Practice.
Hold on a sec, Bobby. I'm going to guess, based on the way you know, your characterization and your takes here of Rodgers, that you just don't like Aaron Rodgers for other reasons. Just answer me yes or no.
Well, I didn't want him because the guy's been...
Yes or no?
No, I don't like this guy is separated. It's like, he doesn't interact with the players.
Hey, what are you talking about, Bobby?
Bobby, they all love him. Last year he was going to the Knick games with Sauce, playoff games, going to Broadway shows.
Yeah, come on.
Bobby, you're out of school. You're out of pocket.
Doesn't interact with players. You couldn't be further from the truth. What are we talking about here, Bobby? If you don't like Rodgers, and I think you're right, BT, he's probably onto something there with he doesn't like Rodgers for whatever reason. That's fine.
Yep.
But come on, you got to be realistic here in your assessment of him. You want to say you don't believe he's going to be as good at age 40, going on 41 this year as he was in the past? Okay, fair enough. But you can't just say that, Rodgers is all about himself and selfish and doesn't want to hang out with the team. That's not correct. Or give us your opinion on whether you think he should play or not in the preseason. I happen to think, as we said, BT, he does want to play, but I don't think Salah should let him play. And we'll continue that discussion when we come back as we hit you with the crown topic of the day, BT and Sal on the Fan.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Far back to pass, takes a deep drop, steps up, looking to his right, and the pass intercepted by the Giants at the 40-yard line. Intercepted by the Giants. Corey Webster got the pick, and he's tackled at the Packer 34.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata, BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We've been talking about Aaron Rodgers. We talked some Mets as well. Get in on the action. We'll get back to the calls in 1 second. I'm just seeing this story now, BT. I was trying to piece this together real quick during the break. Did you see the Staten Island Little League team, the head coach?
Yeah, they're playing tonight, 7 o'clock.
So I guess they won the other day. They're playing tonight.
Yes, elimination. They got one more. It's double limb. Yep.
What's their head coach's name?
I don't. I think it's like begins with an M, and it's Italian. I think I saw this in the Post today. They had something in the Post.
Bob Laterza.
I'm honestly not sure of his last name.
Okay. Anyway, and I'm just trying to piece together where this is coming from. I think Barstool posted about this as well, which was sent to me, and now I'm seeing it on another site here. I don't even know what the hell the name of this site is. SILive.com. Anyway, the manager is taking issue with Aaron Judge.
Why?
Because he doesn't think Judge was good to the kids the other day. Quote, how about turning around or a wave to the to New York and the kids that think you're a hero? They're the ones who pay your salary. They were disappointed. Maybe you'll want to make up for it and come see them. I guess he had an issue with Judge not going over the top for the Staten Island team. I just find this hard to believe that a Little League coach would rip Aaron Judge. Meanwhile, it seems like the Yankees were doing all that they could the other day. Anyway, interesting there that he would try. And look, he's going to get attention for it. Now, a lot of it's going to be negative attention. But yeah, how about that? He took.
I did not see that. You know, I mean, listen, you know, sometimes when you're pulled in a million different directions, even though there was only about, I think it was like 2,700 people there, it's like it's a big, big venue, so it's smaller. But when it's that small, you're almost expected to intimately interact with everybody, which is unfair.
Latizura admitted his boys were bummed to miss out on the big man. I'm reading this from the site right here. He alleged never showed face with his team, despite being seen with others. They'd hope their CPI on home plate would allow them to interact with Judge during the on-deck circle, but Latizura says a Judge ignored the youths who were, you know, yelling for him.
Did you just say youths?
Youths.
The youths. Sounded like you said youths. Youths.
The two youths, well, I'm just reading it here again.
I know.
That the young kids ignore Judge. Come on, dude. That's weak. You're going to get on Judge. Oh, we pay your salaries. I'm not getting on Judge.
I think Judge is as close to perfect as a pro football player could be, like human being.
Yeah, the reason why I bring this up is because you said yesterday that you're a Staten Island guy. Well, and you're rooting for Staten Island team.
I am.
Well, how about now?
Of course I'm still rooting for
him. The guy's ripping Aaron Judge for no reason.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to really see what happened. Now, again, I mean...
Well, what, does Judge got to go out of his way? He's in the middle of a major league game. I mean, he spent enough time with the kids. There's a billion kids around who want a piece of him. He's Aaron
Judge.
So every step he takes...
I'm not getting on Aaron Judge.
Yeah, no, me neither. I'm getting on the manager for knowing better. So he should know better.
Even if the manager's wrong... Now, listen, is it a situation when... And it's his interpretation. And I know a few coaches in Staten Island. I don't know this gentleman, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt as well. So, you know, and I don't think this was the case, but was Aaron Judge told, hey, there's the team from Staten Island. It's the only team from New York. He's like, yeah, whatever. I'm going to go talk to Pennsylvania. I can't imagine Aaron Judge doing that. No.
No, I don't think he did it on purpose.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And sometimes the expectations that you have are so grand that they can't be met.
Right.
And you express it through disappointment, and, you know, maybe he'll retract some of that, the coach of Staten Island, at some point. But maybe he won't. But I'm definitely rooting for Staten Island. Of course I'm rooting for Staten Island.
One more note on this guy from Staten Island here.
Again, what, do you want them to lose now?
David Cohn goes over to approach Laterza. I'm assuming that's his name there. He goes, hey, Bob. Hey, Coach Bob. How you doing? And Laterza had no idea who he was. I mean, come on, dude. You're a coach of Little League Baseball. You don't know who David Cohn is?
Oh, you're just getting all over this guy.
I'm just reading that. I'm giving you the facts here.
This could be easily. Listen.
How do you not know? You're a Little League manager. Like, if I were a Little League player, my manager didn't know who David Cohn was. They'd be like, what are you doing?
Well, maybe he's a Mets fan, and maybe he doesn't watch the Yankees.
All right, if you're a Mets fan, you should know who David Cohn is. If you're a Yankee fan, you should know who David Cohn is. If you manage Little League in Staten Island, you should know who David Cohn is. If you watch Sunday Night Baseball
for a second, you know who David Cohn is.
You watch the Yes Network, you know, like.
What if he's a 27-year-old Mets fan? And he didn't watch David Cohn pitch.
The manager's that young. Why am I?
No, I'm saying that probably not. Because he probably got a son on the team. I don't know. But it sounds like you're going against Staten Island now. Is building this animosity.
I think I am.
You can't.
How can I root for that guy's ripping Aaron Judge? That doesn't know who David Cohn is.
How about we do this?
Yeah.
This should be attainable. How about we get him on the show?
Okay.
You guys can flush it out.
Yeah, we will. And we're gonna give him attention for that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could challenge him. Big boy.
I will.
All right, so get him on the phone.
Ooh, you manage a Little League team to the World Series. Ooh, you don't even know who David Cohn is.
Well,
and you're going to pick on Aaron Judge?
They're not playing until 7 tonight. You got plenty of time. Get him on the phone and challenge him.
By all accounts, Aaron Judge. Now, again, I don't know Judge personally, but by all accounts, extremely gracious with his time. You're going to pick on Judge because he didn't look at you in the on-deck circle? He's got a game to play. Come on, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's not something I would do. But again, I don't know exactly what happened.
I think he's looking for attention, and he's going to get it. He's getting it now.
Okay, so get him on the show. Hey, Zoo, get him on. Get him on.
Bob Laterza.
Shouldn't be hard to do. I'll even sit it out. I'll let you do some skip. Hey, buddy, good luck tonight. I'll be rooting for you.
Yeah, what happened?
I meet my partner, Sal.
Yeah, I want to know the truth of what happened here.
Get him on.
This is speculation online. You ripping Aaron Judge for what reason?
Get him on.
Okay, I'm fine. Well, I mean, I try to get him on. Again.
Get him on today. Zoo. Get him on.
Hey, we'll effort that. We'll effort
that. I'm dead serious. This should not be hard to do.
All right, let's get back to the phones here.
I'll reach out to a few Staten Island people that I do know and maybe actually get his number.
Well, your connection to Staten Island?
What's that?
You got connections to Staten Island?
Got connections everywhere.
Oh, I see that. You're a man of the borough.
No, I mean, I got a few people out there still. Yeah, I mean, come on.
All right, Bobby.
Don't cower. Don't get him on and then start kissing his ass.
What, are you giving a coward to him?
I don't know. The presentation now, I hope it's this aggressive when we get him on the show. This is your problem. This is not my battle.
Need I remind you of how we do things on this show? Don't tell me. I'll annihilate the guy. No, I just want to simply understand where he's coming from.
All right, we'll flush through.
I mean, come on, you got a game to get prepared for. You're managing a little league team. You're managing a little league team, and you're criticizing Aaron Judge, and you don't know who David Cone is? I'm sorry. Yeah, I'd like to talk to this guy. See, what kind of qualification? Why don't you take over running that team, BT? I mean, come on, what is this guy doing here?
Then it's Staten Island enough this year playing ball. It seems like he's doing a good job, though. They're in the Little League World Series.
Yeah.
He wins. I mean, you might not like the guy, but he got him there.
Well, I don't know. We'll see if we can get him.
He'll win tonight, too. I got news for you. It's the Sal Mojo. Sal says bad things, good things happen. Watch.
Bobby is calling. I don't want those kids to lose. Bobby is calling from Belmore. What's up, Bobby?
Yeah, hi, guys. Listen, this is like A-Rod coming to the Mets, 24-plus-1. This is 44-plus-1 with a new A-Rod. I mean, this guy's played 14 plays, including the preseason since January 2023. He doesn't go to mandatory camps with his smoke hash in Egypt. He can't play in the rain because he might get a boo-boo. I mean, this is just on and
on. What do you mean he can't play in the rain because he might get a boo-boo? You would have played him in the rain, Bobby? Come on.
Practice in the rain. I mean, you think Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, after coming off an injury, wouldn't practice in the rain? I mean, this is just, if he's going to get hurt, whether it's Sal, come on. Forget Salah. This guy doesn't want to play in the preseason. He's got one foot out the door.
Bobby, hold on a second. Okay,
what the players saying? They must say, what the F?
Hold on a second, Bobby. I'm going to guess, based on the way you know, your characterization and your takes here of Rodgers, that you just don't like Aaron Rodgers for other reasons. Just answer me yes or no.
Well, I didn't want him because the guy's been...
Yes or no?
No, I don't like this guy is separated. It's like, he doesn't interact with the players.
Bobby, thank you for the call.
Love him. Last year he was going to the Knick games with Sauce, playoff games, going to Broadway shows.
Yeah, come on.
Bobby, you're out of school. You're out of pocket.
Doesn't interact with players. You couldn't be further from the truth. What are we talking about here, Bobby? If you don't like Rodgers, and I think you're right, BT, he's probably onto something there with he doesn't like Rodgers for whatever reason. That's fine.
Yep.
But come on, you got to be realistic here in your assessment of him. You want to say you don't believe he's going to be as good at age 40, going on 41 this year as he was in the past? Okay, fair enough. But you can't just say that, Rodgers is all about himself and selfish and doesn't want to hang out with the team. That's not correct. Or give us your opinion on whether you think he should play or not in the preseason. I happen to think, as we said, BT, he does want to play. But I don't think Salah should let him play. And we'll continue that discussion when we come back as we eat with the crown topic of the day, BT and Sal on the Fan.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.